Smith does that start a whole lot better than I do, don't they? All right, welcome to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show on Big Debate Night Eve. Hope you've already made your date for debate night. All right, as I said, welcome to the show. I am Christopher Hart, and we are once again coming to you from the alternate studio down the hall from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio. But that shouldn't stop you from calling my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399 for the very best in Mercury Free and health-centered dentistry. And don't forget about his great book, Mercury Free. Nick LoCicero once again is on the battle bridge and in the studio. Mike McBath is back in town, the chairman of the board. And David Levitt from Refresh Computers, also candidate for Florida House District 29, is also in the studio. So, howdy, fellas.
Hello.
Great to be here. You know, Chris, I was up in Canada. And
you crossed the border to get some of that Canadian mist?
I went up there to do some... wine drinking. You know, they have all ice wines up there. A lot of people don't know this, but there's a tremendous amount of vineyards on the Canadian side of Niagara Falls.
Is that right?
And plus, you see capitalism at its best. I can't. The Canadian side, as I told you, looks like the Taj Mahal. The American side looks like Detroit. And, you know, you just wonder, is this truly what the politicians who run, you know, and that is another product of the Niagara Falls politicians on the American side. It is pathetic. I mean, it looked like I'm, you know, Camden, New Jersey or something. And
Well, you went up there, of course, for the opening game of the NFL season, the Buffalo
Bills buddy.
Game.
You know, you're talking possible Super Bowl champs. The showdown's this weekend. Bring Brady on and keep those balls blown up, buddy. We're going to be chucking them, I can tell you that. But I will say the team played outstanding. It was a 3-day fundraiser. And, you know, Chris, you've been to a number of our events. And, you know, the money that we've raised through different type of charity events. But we had 5 Hall of Famers there, Jim Kelly, Joe DeLamalier, Reggie McKenzie. You know, they were part of the electric company.
Real quick, how's Jim Kelly doing? Doesn't he have some real bad health issues?
He seems... You know, that's all I can say is the sense that if you talk with him and visually look at him, he seems okay. Hmm. And that's the assumption I'm under, and that's the assumption I'm told. So he seems fine.
Okay.
You know, and, you know, what happened is they honored the AFL. In the old days, they had American Football League before they merged with the NFL. And that was a forced merger. And in 65, the Bills won the AFL championship. And the quarterback was Jack Kemp. And Jack Kemp's son was up there because, you know, Jack's no longer with us.
Right.
But all in all, it was a outstanding, you know, event. And they had, like I say, probably 1,000 people at the casino on the American side who paid $100 plus. You know, they did auctions and everything, raised a ton of money that night. Next day, we went to the game at about 8 in the morning. Then they had everybody do it. We did like an event for raise money. Then we went and sat in the owner's box, and they introduced you at halftime if you wanted to be. And then the next day, we played golf up in Niagara Falls at, you know, a beautiful course.
Got it rough,
and,
don't you?
I'm so tired, you know. We got to get to the end.
All right.
Oh, man. Give me a break, buddy.
David, you missed last Wednesday with us because you had an event of your own that you were at. How did that go?
Oh, that was really good.
Now, Chris Ann Hall was speaking on constitutional issues. Just give us a synopsis.
Oh, yeah. Basically, you know, she talked about the fact that, you know, we're states. It's a state sovereignty talk that she gave for about an hour.
States' rights over federal rights
and everything like that. And just tremendous, you know. I mean, some of the things that she came out with, like what was a question she asked the audience. Okay, I'll throw this question out there that she asked, right? Who did the British fight against during the War of Independence?
Okay, fought the Americans?
No, they fought against the British.
Oh.
It was a civil war.
Oh, that's right.
We became Americans after, so you kind of go through that, and that's the same thought I had.
It was a revolution. So, yeah, the revolution comes from within, not from without.
That's right.
But you don't normally think about it when she phrases the question like that.
Exactly. And I fell for the same thing. Yeah. Like, and so the other thing was she talked about, you know, how we as states delegated power to a federal government. And that's written right in there in the Constitution. So when you delegate something,
you're saying delegated.
You hand it down.
You can take it back.
Right. Let's start taking back as quick as we can.
So, you know, it's a pretty cool event. And she has another one coming up. Well, I have to get the date sometime. Okay. It's actually for high school kids. Middle school kids coming up. It's like an 8-hour thing on a Saturday at Longwood.
That'd be great.
Yeah. I'll tell you, Dave, you got to be fired up, though. Chris have been mentioned a number of times, is you really got a great chance to get elected.
I think so.
And I mean this because of, look at what's happening in the Trump issue and all these, the outsiders. I always think of NWW, World Wrestling, right?
Sure.
Well, you know, in a sense, you know, your party. I think thoughts that you put forth and everything, it was very appealing. And I think there's going to be a lot of default voters, and that's what I call it. They just go, I don't like this, I don't like that, this guy deserves a chance. And certainly you have some good ideas that can enhance us locally, which I think is really important.
I appreciate that. And, you know, and the thing that will help me a lot come Election Day, you know, doesn't help me so much today, quite frankly, is the fact I'm not a politician. So, you know, I don't go out there and talk all this political talk.
Right.
You know, because I don't know the political talk, quite frankly, and I don't want to know it. I want to talk, you know, my campaign manager, bless her heart, she always wants me to, like, study these things and
talking points
and this and that. Man, no, you know what? I just want to talk, you know, off the cuff. I'll screw up, but you'll get to see the real me.
That's okay.
This is the year of authenticity, quote-unquote. Right. As a matter of fact, Hillary Clinton's campaign was letting it be known over the weekend and the end of last week that she's going to be projecting more authenticity.
So she had to tell us that, though.
Right, exactly.
No, she has to. She'll be acting more.
For her, it will. But see, that's the whole point. Yeah. That's the whole point. Yeah. You see, she doesn't know how to be authentic. At least not around us normal folk, right? But guess who does? Donald Trump.
You're not kidding.
Ben Carson. Yeah. And men like you and women like you. Oh, well, thanks. Men and women.
Come on. Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. This day and age, anything goes, right?
Oh, men like me. Men like me. I'll go with that one.
But.
Okay, Bruce.
The animosity also, I believe, toward the political ruling class, if you will, and I'll steal a little Marxist language there, is only going to intensify. Because the Republican leadership has made it quite clear that they're not going to fight anything.
Right. Right. Well, that's true.
They're going to raise the debt limit. They're going to give the budget that Obama wants. Mm. They're going to fund Planned Parenthood. They're not going to do anything about the Iranian deal.
They're playing along for the most part.
And they're trying to make it look like they're working so hard. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen, Mr. McConnell. If you want to do something about the filibuster, you don't have to change the rule other than to just say, if a senator wants to filibuster, he actually, guess what, has to do it.
Yeah.
He can't just say, I'm going to filibuster, and then you have to see if there's enough votes. No. If you're going to filibuster, you got to do what Rand Paul did and what Ted Cruz did. You stand up, and if you can't talk anymore, that's when the filibuster ends.
That's right.
Now, if another one of your colleagues wants to take your place, we'll go round and round, but we're going to make you stand there and defend this nonsense. But we couldn't do anything like that. So once again, you know, I think Mike's right. This is the year of the outsider and the year of the authentic person.
I think so. And, you know, and I think of it a lot like how I run my business, Refresh Computers. Okay. So it's a very successful computer store. And I built that success on giving people what they want at the least amount of
cost. At the best price.
Yeah, hey, I can apply that to politics.
Said the right words.
I can apply that to this position.
Yeah. That's
you know,
exactly
and,
right.
And it's what people need and want.
But you know, Chris, what's coming very soon this is going to come big into the discussion. The Obamacare billings are going to start coming out in October and November, and you're going to see fury like you've never seen when the average American realizes what is happening again to their taxes. Not going to be pretty. If I were a Democrat, I think I might be switching parties or something.
Along that line, real quick, the Wall Street Journal did an article today that I believe it was the Wall Street Journal, might have been another publication. 11 million, the Obamacare
goal of having 21 million people enrolled in that by 2016 is going to be miss it by only 11 million.
Is that all?
So they're going to get less than 50% of their goal, which means that the premiums for those people are going to have to go even higher because there won't be enough money in the pool.
Somebody's got to pay.
Exactly. All right. Now, real quick, before we take a break, and Brad, hang on the line. We will get to your phone call. David Levitt has a campaign kickoff coming up. Tell us a little bit about it, David. And this is where I was telling you a little bit about this last week, folks, where somebody's going to win an
80-inch TV. Now, just so you know, I mean, this is a TV that I own. I'm donating to my own campaign. So that's where it came from.
Full disclosure, David, thank you very much.
All right.
I've been checking your emails, too.
Thanks. Which I can do, so I did. So, and it's a $100 suggested donation to you get a ticket to win the TV. But you can come out and you can send an email to dave@dave4house.com. And request that an entry be put in for the TV, and I'll throw an entry in for you. Just one per person, please. So you don't have to buy a ticket to win the TV.
Okay.
But it would be kind of nice if you did. But the date is October 22nd. Between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m., my wife, Isabel, is going to be cooking. We have $25 plates, basically. It's a donation again.
Right. This is $25 per plate fundraiser.
If for some reason you don't have the money and you still want to come to the event, then you don't have to donate anything. Come on, we're going to feed you anyway. So
at least I know where I'll have supper that night.
So, come on out. I mean, my wife is the best cook, I'm going to tell you, out there in the world.
That's a heck of an endorsement, you know.
It's going to be salmon or beef, and you can pick your choice. And again, we appreciate the donations, but if you can't donate, come on out anyway. All I ask is you go to the website and RSVP. Or, send an email to dave@dave4house.com and let me know how many's coming out so we know,
And once again, this is going to be Thursday, October 22nd, so you got time to plan for this.
Yep.
And it's going to be at the Longwood Community Building in downtown Longwood at 6 p.m., starting at, you'll be opening the doors at 6 p.m.
At 6, but you have a two-hour window to come in and eat. So if you can't get there till 7:30 because you're working late, fine. You can get up till 8 o'clock, we'll still be serving.
Okay. All right.
Chris, I'm thinking, when did the bumper stickers, like, lead with Levitt, something like that,
Well, we got leave it to Levitt.
I don't know. It's like leave it to Beaver, though. I don't know.
Well, you can't get more wholesome than that.
That's true.
Yeah, we can have two faces on the picture.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll pick up the conversation, and you, too, can join us like Brad is getting ready to do here momentarily by calling us at 407-774-8255.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be.
There's that song again. I guess we're going to have to talk about Hillary Clinton.
Our little sex kitten.
The pair.
Yeah.
Not the all pair, just the pair.
I know, Chris. Again, when we did that word association last week, we had 19 calls in 1 hour.
Yeah, less.
And you came up with the one. I don't know if you want to call it noun or whatever, but no one else came up with. You called her a pear. Oh, my God. I thought she was like
a pear, kind of small at the top, big at the bottom.
I didn't know we were.
I'm thinking P-A-I-R.
P-E-A-R. I thought she looked like a Coke bottle.
I got a new one for her.
Oh, no.
But this is not one. This is not a one word. This is the shrew in blue.
She's styling the profiling,
she's
right?
She's taken to wearing only bright blue outfits. I don't know. reminds me of that Seinfeld episode where he went out with this girl that wore the same dress over and over again, or at least he thought it was the same dress he had to do.
That'll match her red eyes. The Satan.
So not the pantsuit butte?
There you go, pantsuit butte. All right, let's go to Brad, see what he thinks. Brad, thank you for holding. I appreciate you calling in tonight.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. It's been a while for me, but the more I heard of Ms. Clinton the last 2 days saying that she's hoping and praying that Donald Trump gets the nomination, and she had that coy smile, that devious smile saying, I would love to debate him, and then also segued with that disrespect to women theme.
Yeah.
Now, guys, let me preface this call by saying we've had a long history in the debate of embarrassing moments. Dan Quayle, famously, by Lloyd Benson. You're no Jack Kennedy.
I remember that.
This one, guys, you know where I'm going here. With Donald and his amazingness of the moment, if she has the audacity, can you imagine? She'll be made a laughing stock on national TV. She'll say, with all due respect, Madam Secretary, you're going to stand there and lecture me on disrespecting women. Kathleen Willey.
Juanita Broderick.
Oh, it goes on and on.
Can you imagine? The crowd will just uproar. She'll have to just duck and hide. Now, my question to you is she that ignorant? Does she not know, or is she just that arrogant?
I think it's arrogance more than anything else. But it's already started. Last night, evidently, she tweeted that if you are a victim of sexual assault, you deserve to be heard. And then she went on, rape is a crime no matter where it happens. And I, of course, thought, even in the Oval Office, you mean? She's already stepped in it. And, it would be... He would turn her into a laughing stock.
Yeah, Brad, what she did, she referenced her husband. So if anybody needs to know about rape, assault,
husband. He's got hands on.
He's in the other half of the White House.
Experience. I think it's part arrogance and part she thinks that the best way to deal with that is more or less head on. And she's going to put it out there, and then if anybody says anything about it, like I'm doing, she's going to criticize us as being part of that vast right-wing cabal. Here they go again, all their false allegations and lies. Only we all know that they weren't false. I mean, we got the blue dress. You remember the blue dress? And it's ironic that the shrew in blue evidently has forgot about the stain on the blue dress.
But you're not very sensitive,
which by the way, was... evidently DNA confirmed.
Yeah, it was.
To be from her husband. So it's arrogance, it's stupidity, it's guile, and it's desperation.
As we all know, she actually did. You know, she turned on all the women, as we know, that were working against him. So, yeah. I mean, the answer is, I wouldn't touch that question of anything if I was her. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to Trump. Whatever abuse you may interpret, forget it. I don't want to go that direction.
It mystified me at the start, but at the end of the day, I think it's just utter arrogance and blind confidence that they can get away with anything. Brad, don't wait so long to call back. Okay, Brad, thanks for calling. I appreciate you being out there. All right, and while we're on the subject, over the weekend, David, it came out that the server, evidently, the holding company, Pratt something or other, I've had it written down here.
That's
somewhere.
The Colorado-based one, right?
The Colorado-based. Yeah. It was basically a mom-and-pop organization, and they said that they didn't wipe the server clean. And so evidently there may be something still retrievable on it. And then there's the possibility that the person who wiped it clean kind of didn't know what they were doing. What exactly happens when a server is wiped clean? Is the information somehow physically all removed, or is it encrypted and coded? What exactly happens when you wipe a server clean?
Well, it depends on your definition of wipe.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you go in and delete like all the files, they're not really deleted. They're still there.
That's not wiped clean.
That's not
in
wiped
sense.
Clean. So you can go in there and think you're deleting everything.
All right, let's look at this from the criminal mind standpoint, like the Clintons do. They want that server so that no one can retrieve any information from it. How difficult and what does that involve? Once again, is the information actually removed or just scrambled to the point that it's irretrievable?
Now, they can actually wipe it to the point where nothing can be gotten off of it. No information whatsoever.
But the information is still there. It's just scrambled up?
Nope.
The information's gone.
It's gone. They can actually get it to that point, which... You know, if I'm a betting person, if I could figure out, if I knew the insides, you know, like what we all want to know, you know, what happened, I would, my guess would be, you know, the thing that would be the highest possibility would be that it got wiped completely clean and then reinstalled with a version of the deleted style. You know what I mean? So like I said, first, when you delete a bunch of files, they're really still on there. So you delete all these files and you save that. Then you go in and you wipe the hard drive completely clean. And you put back on what you want.
Okay.
And
that sounds
so,
like she'd do that.
And that's something that you can find. Now you found something.
You have to understand that these people have very sophisticated criminal minds, mm-hmm. and they know it's like the sharpest. In prison, I did some research. In prison, do you know who is considered the highest of the hierarchy in terms of the social order?
Not the warden.
No. I'm talking about the inmates.
The computer head?
The con artists.
Right.
Because they're considered to be the most clever and can get away with just about anything, and we're out of time. We'll be right back.
Wow. Yeah.
FM 105.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair? Me here at last on the ground, and you in midair. Send in
the clowns. Bring on the clown.
We got our old blue eyes here in the studio. Of course, that's the chairman of the board, Mike McBath.
I want to be a singer before I die.
Don't worry, folks.
It won't happen, I know.
He put that money for singing lessons to good use. He put himself through college. All right, David Levin is also in the studio with us today. We have some good news concerning our spaghetti eating challenge. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But, we played that song because, of course, tomorrow night is debate night. Mm-hmm. And
I'm fired up, Chris. Are you?
Talking about fired up.
You're going to be on the helm here, right?
Yeah, I'll be here. Now, real quick, what Mike is talking about, tomorrow there will be live national Salem Media Group debate coverage starting at 5 o'clock, and it will go from 5 to midnight. Hugh Hewitt's going to be the main host, and, of course, he's one of the moderators in the two debates, the earlier debate, which kicks off, I believe, at 6:15, a little after 6, and then, of course, the main act, which goes off at 9 o'clock, and you can watch on CNN, but better than that, you can listen on Salem, but only Salem Media Group stations like AM 660, The Answer, FM 105.5, WTLN 950 and 1520 WBZW. No other radio station in town will be carrying the debates. So that will be tomorrow night, and I'm fired up. I'm looking forward to it. Trump seems like he's ready for it.
I mean, you saw
him.
Did you
see him? Oh,
I loved it.
Donald Does Dallas. Did you see that? Did you see Donald Does Dallas?
I didn't see that.
You know what?
You saw the other one, right?
The great thing is, and this was Donald, though, he stays on point all the time, stays on point, and I love the enthusiasm, not only of just him, the crowd. And I like watching the people that are always behind the guy, you know, because you watch like a Hillary speech and they all have a frown, you know, their heads down. You know, these people are like, they're laughing, having a good time, waving. It's great. I mean, it's like a pep rally, and I love it when the critics go, oh, this is a circus. Well, you know what? You people better hope you can get a circus going with 20,000 people. That's the circus I want to be part
of.
That's
right.
Well, see, this is what Donald Trump realizes what we've been saying for 5 years here. Politics, in essence, is a circus.
That's right.
It's a circus act. And if you don't understand that, then you're a lousy politician. And he understands that.
And so, he's being the ringleader.
And
so
he is.
He's directing things, right?
He certainly is. Yeah. And by the way,
analogy.
If you hadn't heard, he packed the American Airlines Arena in Dallas. That's where the Mavericks play. I'm sure his buddy Mark Cuban probably let him use the place for free.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
entrepreneurs.
People were lining up early in the morning for a nighttime event. And even though the mainstream media has not been talking about this, a lot of people who were there were, guess what? Hispanics.
Oh, I know.
And they
I
were some
that.
Of the
yeah.
most enthusiastic of the crowd.
I told you about my sister-in-law, right?
Yeah.
My wife's from Venezuela, 28 years, and her sister, who is an American citizen today, was offended when Trump first made that comment about Mexicans coming mm-hmm. across the border.
Mm-hmm.
A week later, she came up to me and said, you know, I'm actually kind of liking that guy Trump.
Mm-hmm. And he grows on you.
Yeah.
So as you might say. But he's full of enthusiasm. He's full of positive vibes, mm-hmm. if you will. And people want that. And he also projects success. He is a successful man. Which it's easy to believe he could be successful as president.
That's America, or at least that's what it was until we had the human depressant become president. But, I mean, and then that is so true, because everybody wants to be rich. Everybody wants to be successful. And, you know, and it's such a unique way, the way he puts it across. But I will tell you, one of the great laughs last night was, and you know this, when you watch TV and you see, this guy makes me sick, Karl Rove. You know, the architect.
Right,
yeah, he was the architect of disaster, right?
Yeah.
Well, Trump just mocked him into oblivion, and the whole crowd was rolling on the ground laughing and stuff. But you know what? He knew that Karl Rove is a joke, and he brought it right to the surface, and it just brought him so many, you know, cheers and laughter. It was great.
And I didn't see it. Now, Mike, you saw it.
Yeah, I saw it. That was
evidently
great.
He got almost a minute-long standing ovation when he talked about sending illegals back out of the country.
And what he's doing there, Chris, he always makes it real clear now. He said, I am for legal. You know, I mean, it's like there's no loss of legal. But with this illegal, and everybody's, you know, loving it, and you can see the crowd in the back, because I watch the people in the back, they're cheering and everything. It was outstanding. And then again, he went into his routine on, you know, corporations that moved to Mexico or something, how he's going to put tariffs on them. He talked about, as we know, the sanctuary city cities situation, which brought a big reaction. But he stays with his message of three or four things and keeps pounding it home. Pounding at home with laughter, and you know, and I love how, and then the media, right? He says, okay, now look in the back, everybody. And as you said, there was like 20,000 people there, right? Look in the back, everybody. And he says, there's all the media. They're all coming here to see me because I'm huge. You know? But that's showmanship, that's entertainment. And that's why,
that's what's selling.
You know, when I was coming home the day on the plane from Buffalo, right? Now that's a working crowd. I'm in the airport. When I sat in the plane, I had one old lady beside me, about probably 80, and then I had a lady probably 60, and we're just talking with you. And I said, what are you going to vote for?
Do you have that Hillary for prison shirt on?
No, I wished I did. I'd have worn it on my forehead, a sticker. Yeah. But both of them said Trump. And then when I got my coffee, there was a black lady, you know, in the Buffalo airport. Yep. This is, you know, 6:30 in the morning when they're just opening up. I said, out of curiosity, I said, what do you think of Trump? She goes, I like him, man. He really shows success. He knows how to do stuff.
Yeah.
Three for three. Would you guess that? And all women.
Yeah. And of course, the Republican Party, who laments that they are, you know, haven't been reaching out enough to the minority community.
Oh, please.
Look at the crowd last night in Dallas and start asking black folk on your own and see what reaction you'll get. According to some polls, one out of four black folks will say, I like Trump. And I bet it's more than
I believe it's more than that.
By the way, we said,
without a doubt, I think he'll draw as many blacks as we've ever seen in an election.
I do, too.
Because they're just like all of us. They want to be successful, and he is a guiding light of success. And you know what? He's fair, you know. And reality is, we all know when he talks about the wall, everybody thinks, oh, you mean he's going to build a $10 billion wall? And he said last night, he said, you know, the guy that's telling everybody it costs $10 billion. He said, first of all, if I build it, it would be $4 billion. Secondly, if I have my name on it, it's going to look awful good. But third, he said, don't be stupid. He said, it isn't going to be like, you know, I'm an example, 1,800 miles. He said, part of it is, you know, you got mountains, you got this and that. He said, these people come out and they try to say this cannot be done. He said, look at Israel. Look at all these places that have walls.
Right.
Walls are all over to prevent this.
Once again, he has the can-do attitude. We're constantly being told we can't do this, we can't do that. Just look at him in Congress today. Oh, we can't do anything about the Iranian deal because them old Democrats are going to filibuster. We can't do anything about Planned Parenthood because we can't shut down the government. Well, we're sick and tired of hearing can't.
Right.
And that's what Trump is all about. And by the way, I just got this from Nostradamus about the circus. He said politics is a circus, and they're all fighting for the privilege of being the one to clean up 8 years of dung. And some of that is elephant dung. Ooh, that stings.
No, I think that's very clear.
He is he's ready for the debate, and he says he's not studying for the debate. This man has been debating. He knows.
Yeah.
He's been saying these things, talking about these these things right. for 30 years. What does he need to do? So he doesn't know the name of this or that terrorist group or something. That's not important. And the American public knows it's not important.
Chris, that's what I think will be a fatal move tomorrow night when somebody tries to play, I call the name game with them. You know, try to go, well, you know, I have special expertise in this area and I'll drop names and we'll trip Trump up. You know, the public's going to go, who cares? He knows what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. When it's time to get it done, he'll learn all the names and stuff like that. But I got a feeling, you know, they're going to try to trip him up playing that game that took place a few weeks ago. But I think it's going to work in reverse on them. We'll see.
Well, they'll just be turning themselves into more Ahabs.
Yep.
Moby Dick.
Well, and have you looked at his website? Look at his website. He doesn't talk about issues at all.
No.
Nothing on his website. I think there's something about the wall on there right now, but that's it.
Yeah,
you know, he doesn't have to.
He doesn't have to. I'm running strong. You know, that's the point. And why change?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So now it will be tomorrow night. Once again, you'll be able to listen to it right here on the Medium Group, the Medium stations here in Orlando. And we won't have the regular American Adversaries drive time show, but I'll be here just doing throwing in my 2 cents worth, so to speak, every now and then. So certainly tell your friends and family about it and listen to the debate tomorrow night. And then, of course, Thursday we'll be back in here giving our armchair quarterback of it. And it's going to be very interesting.
Chris, now that Perry's out on the first, who is the first few?
It's going to be Bobby Jindal, George Pataki, Rick Santorum, and Lindsey Graham.
I think I'll probably miss that part. In other words, I have more important things to do, like take out the trash.
That's where I think those candidates, if any of the candidates, I think, quote unquote, really go after Trump, I think it will be Jindal.
And maybe Lindsey Graham.
Exactly. Yeah. They've got nothing to lose. And in the main stage, and a lot of people think, oh, Carly Fiorina is definitely going to go after Donald Trump, you know, the face remark and stuff. If she does, I bet it will be a joke. And I think she's more intent on it being about her than him. Yeah. And if she takes him on, it immediately becomes him. About him.
Right.
Right.
No, I agree with you, Chris.
So I think she's smart enough not to get into a toe-to-toe brawl. Like I said, if she says something like about the face or something, expect it to be in the form of a joke. And then for her to move on.
And they're business people, too, because, you know, I think they want to avoid a little bit about discussing your history, their history, and all that.
Right.
Why would I do that if we're both in the same boat?
You got two hours, 11 candidates, moderators, commercials, intro, and exit. How much time? I mean, we've already done the math before. I mean, the last debate, Donald Trump had the most time, and he talked a little over 10 minutes, I think. I mean, this is ridiculous to begin with. So you have to understand, if you're a candidate, you're at best going to get about 8 good choice minutes of talk.
And it should be about you.
And it better be.
Period.
It better be about why people should elect you rather than someone else. And it can't be, because you can't attack 10 people on that stage.
When you think of all the crowds that Trump, I mean, just think of how big the audience is going to be. And if I were the Republicans, I would be sitting there thinking, you know, guys, we got to get our ideology across to the American people. This is our greatest chance. We might have 30 million people, because if Trump isn't here, then our audience, I don't care who's running, it's going to drop to probably 12 million.
Yeah.
Tell your story. Yeah. Make it enticing for the American public.
You've got to, as they say, connect.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break, and then we'll connect back up with you on the other side. That's right, folks. You got the eye of the tiger. You want to be in the spaghetti eating challenge? You still got time to get in on it. I want to get to some details of that here in just a second. But real quick, I just got this from Carl Jackson. He said Fiorina was asked if she intended to go after Trump tomorrow. She said, no, most Americans don't know me, and this is my opportunity to introduce myself to them.
That was very smart, and I would expect that coming from her.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. And at the end of the day, a lot of these people's got to start at least thinking that, you know, this guy might actually pull this off, and I want to be in on it.
Yeah.
Right? Either as VP or something else.
Right.
But right now, once again, I think my dream ticket would be Trump Carson. Now, I know we all love Ted Cruz, and I would be just as pleased with Cruz. But what I like about Ben Carson is, and if not VP, something in the administration that he can – he's a healer. That's what he does by nature. He heals people. And this country so desperately needs to be healed right now. We have these racial wounds. We have these gender wounds. Mm-hmm. We have all kinds of wounds that need to be healed. Donald Trump can get in there and take care of business, you know, kick butt and take names, both domestically and foreign policy. And in the meantime, a guy like Ben Carson could be crisscrossing this country, going to communities and personally facilitate the healing process.
And, and I see a Trump vice president actually being a very useful person in his
office. I would expect
he would put them to use.
Working.
Right.
I mean, you're not going in there for a vacation.
Yeah,
you don't
going to
be working.
You don't hear a whole lot about vice presidents typically.
Right.
But a Trump vice president, I bet you would be a very active.
That's why I think it would be either either Cruz or Carson.
Mm-hmm.
Because either one would be very instrumental. Mm-hmm. Cruz could get in there and be the attack dog for the Congress.
Sure.
But Carson, we so desperately need someone like that, you know, to go into the communities, the inner city communities, someone who will have credibility, you see. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would like to see, though, him get a little roughed up in the sense of how he'll respond to something that takes him off.
He's
such a gentle, it's like I call a sweetheart type guy.
Right.
I'd like to see him just take him off a little bit off the game. And it's coming. You know, I don't know when.
Yeah.
It could be tomorrow night. But I want to see him really go after somebody. I just want to see, do you have that? Because, boy, I'm sure when you get into big-time leaders and everything like Putin and everybody else, you better have some fire.
Right.
You know, so I just want to – I'm sure it's there because he couldn't achieve what he does, but I'd like to see it called on. So.
Probably, yeah, controlled fire. Yeah, yeah. I bet you'd see that. He's a brain surgeon, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy.
And that's maybe indigenous to that style of occupation,
mm-hmm.
which it could very well be.
Yeah. Real quickly, some poll numbers. A new Gravis marketing poll from One America News Network. The Florida GOP race, Trump, 33, Carson, 22.
Wow.
Jeb Bush, 15.
Yeah.
And Rubio is down around 6, along with Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina. But once again, you add up Trump, Carson, Cruz, and Fiorina. You got 33, 22. That's 55. And then another 12. You're talking 67% again for the outsiders. The percentage for the outsiders is growing.
Yeah.
The percentage for, and I'm talking about cumulative, and the cumulative percentage for the establishment candidates, which is all the others but those four, is shrinking. We're seeing, if you will, a bit of a revolution going on here.
I think so, and I hope so. I hope that that continues all the way through 2016
obviously,
and all the races.
Yeah, but I do too, and it's all for, I was going to say, for your own self-interest because you're running as an outsider, but it's really for all of our own self-interest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I get so perplexed with guys like Michael Medved, who is a genius.
In
his own way.
Right.
But he is so adamantly against these outsiders in favor of the establishment. And yet, who has got us into this predicament?
Right. The guy that got us in, now he's telling us how he's going to get out of it. Does that make any sense to you?
Right, and the American public is not buying it.
And, you know, if you had a company and a guy drives you bankrupt, then you want to hire him and drive you bankrupt again? Don't think so.
Yeah. Real quickly, the Democratic race here in Florida, Democrats, Hillary, 41, Joe Biden, 21, Bernie Sanders, 12.
Yeah.
And that's with, of course, Joe Biden not even, quote unquote, being in the race.
I don't think, though, Sanders' act's going to carry well in Florida. You know, when
it's not going to carry
this
very well.
This isn't the type of state that he's going to be.
Outside of
smoking pot and stuff.
Yeah, outside of Washington, outside of Washington, Oregon, and California, all that have legal marijuana. And the Northeast, he's not going to, I don't believe, sell very well. Real quick, the odds coming out of Great Britain to be president. On the Republican side, Bush is still number one at 2-1, according to the Brits. Trump is right on his heels at 2.2-1. So they basically
that's
are.
Really good. I think that's terrific. He's moved up.
And then Carson has moved up to 6-1.
Not bad.
And Fiorina is 10-1.
That's not bad.
And Cruz, is right in there, too. And once again, the rest of the pack is just falling away. It's like, who are they anymore? And one troubling statistic in this poll, this, I believe, is a Washington Post poll. I might be getting it mixed up.
Biased.
But there's so many of them out there. But this has to do with, should the government be shut down over Planned Parenthood? In this particular poll, 71% say no, 22% say yes. That's what the poll numbers look like going into the debate. We will see what they come out like on the other side. Real quickly, our spaghetti eating challenge coming up on the 28th, just 2 weeks from yesterday. And we got 7 contestants, maybe 8. We're working on an 8th contestant. And we certainly, if you want to get in on it, you still have a chance to do that. We are developing a prize package. We're starting to flesh it out. You'll get a $100 gift card to Cafe Positano. And now you'll also get compliments of David Levitt and Refresh Computers.
A $200 gift certificate to Refresh Computers.
$200.
You know it's fun.
You can buy a really nice. I've listened to the commercials. You can get a big nice system for $200 there,
or a laptop.
The other thing is the spaghetti's good. It's not like you're making me eat something that tastes bad. I know it sounds like when you're in an eating contest. Oh, I got to eat something horrible. This is outstanding. It's probably my favorite meal over there.
Yeah.
So Big Reg coming in at 265 pounds.
Ken Ziak is bringing in 140 pounds.
He thinks he can take Reggie, and then we got one or two women. We got one, maybe another one.
Yep.
This is going to be interesting to see if they can stand. You know, let's see where quality rises here.
You know, we really do need another lady or two because we want to be sexist about this. We want to have a men's competition and a women's competition.
Yeah. But they're not going to get
we're
a smaller
plate. We're going to segregate you.
The plate's going to be the same size. We're going to weigh it.
That's right.
And you're going to
everybody
have to
will be eating the same thing.
A couple meatballs, too.
All right. That'll be the 28th. We'll be right back.
Intelligence Conservative. FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service.
Ladies and gentlemen, sit it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
Folks, you are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer from the alternate studio down the hall from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio. And don't forget, for the very best in mercury free dental care, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. Christopher Hart here. Nick LeCicero is on the Battle Bridge. The chairman of the board, Mike McBath, is back fresh from the Buffalo Bills big victory on Sunday.
Go Bills, and I'm telling you, the Bills play the Pats this Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Maybe
showdown.
They'll finally exact some revenge for all those folks out
sure
there who are mad at the Brady.
Make sure those footballs are blown up properly, because I might fly up there just to test them.
Is that going to be in New England, game?
It's in Buffalo. And man, I'm telling you, the fans, it was sold out. They are zealots. And I mean, everywhere you go, go Bills, you know. So
that other voice you hear, if you've not been listening to the show, of course, is David Levitt of Refresh Computers, great sponsor of ours. and you will not get a better deal on a computer, laptop, or anything of that sort than Refresh Computers. Guaranteed. You'll get the best equipment at the best price.
Hey, not only can I say that, I can guarantee that.
And he does. You do phones, too, right? iPhones?
Well, we repair iPhones and iPads.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I got to find some time to get in over there.
I know.
And get him to do
Boy,
some
your phone
online.
Looks terrible, Chris.
It works terrible.
I thought that was like a spaghetti plate when I looked at the glass all smashed.
I tell you, I swear, four years now I've had the same. It's an iPhone 4. How long has that been out?
It's
2 years?
It's been a while. Bring that in.
I do the carpentry and stuff during the day, and this thing has been knocked around, and you wouldn't believe.
I thought you got hit by lightning looking at the pattern.
No, I'm getting out of the car at the gas station about 2 months ago. It falls out. I keep it on my lap sometimes. Yeah. It falls out of my lap, about 2 feet down to the ground, and shatters.
Nice.
So anyway, it's just how you do things, I guess.
Hey, can I give a special thanks to a couple of listeners of yours?
Please do.
Mike and Lisa, who came out to see me in Sanford. We were doing the Sanford Alive After 5 event last Thursday.
Right.
Oh, great.
And they came out to sign my candidate petition there and mentioned, hey, you know what? We don't miss you guys on the radio.
Thank you, Mike and Lisa.
So
we appreciate it.
Very nice of them to come out and do that and mention the show.
That's great. That's great. That's what we like to see, folks. We like to see you get involved in some way. Believe me, it's for your own good that we get involved in these things. Like last night, I was talking about helping out True Life Choice and John Barros. They are doing really miraculous things. And by the way, they may have some very good news for us here in another day or so. But they're doing miraculous things. And you can be a part of that by helping them out.
Yeah.
So, and you can be a part of changing Tallahassee by helping out people like David Levitt, who's running for the Florida House. And he's an outsider. And that's good.
No, that's good. And he's a businessman. And he understands the problems that all of us who are in business go through. And that's the great thing about it. So, you know, they should be out there helping you, Dave, because we need people like you.
I've created and operate four successful businesses.
That's what I'm talking about.
Right here in Seminole County.
Little Trump.
But basically, David wants to be able to do more of what he already does. He goes to pretty much every public meeting in Seminole County.
Everyone
You'll
I can
see
make.
David Levitt there because he's trying to watch out for us. He's trying to be a watchdog, if you will. And that's what we need in Tallahassee. Somebody who's going to be one of us up there. You know, this Rolling Stone article, and Kathy, I'll get to you in just a moment. Please hold on the line. This Rolling Stone article that came out last week, and all the attention went to the comment about the face. Actually, I thought the author actually made a pretty good observation. And this goes to what we call them, the outsiders. He said, what's so special about Trump is that he's not one of them. In other words, he's not one of the political class.
That's right.
And I think this holds true for Carson and Fiorina and to a great extent Ted Cruz. And we don't want one of them anymore. We want one of us.
Chris, if there's no term limits, that's why David should get in office.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, term limit them out.
So I can set term limits. I can help set that.
Yeah, I mean,
which is one of the things you want to do.
I promise if I get elected, I will serve no more than two terms, and it's only two-year terms each time.
Yeah, yeah.
So 4 years will be the
Wouldn't
max.
Wouldn't that be nice if they all made that commitment?
Yeah, well.
But they won't. David did.
I can. I will not be a lifetime politician. I want to go in and make a difference in the way that I know I can. And I'd like to see other people get involved and do the same kind of thing.
Okay. Well, we've kept Kathy waiting for a lifetime, so let's get her on the line right now. Kathy, thanks for holding through the break. We appreciate you being out there for us.
Hi. I just have three things to bring up, and I'll try to make it short and sweet because I know you're limited on time.
Well, we'll give you whatever time you need. Go right ahead.
Okay. The first one is, who is actually in the voting, or the polls, I should say, when they pick, like, who they would, you know, who they want for the election? Like you said, that Trump is on the highest, and then Ben Carson next.
Okay.
Who actually is polled? Is it totally random? Is it by phone? Like, how is that done?
Okay, you have to read the fine print. And the polls, they don't all do it the same way. Some of the polls, they're just looking for adults, anybody basically who will answer the phone. Some of the polls go to registered voters. Some of the polls go to likely voters. And what's interesting, though, in what's going on we see right now is that no matter the method, the results seem to be pretty much the same thing. And So the methods vary, but the results are starkly similar. Even our informal poll that our man Scott Miller of My Liberty Threads is doing, mm-hmm. he's doing a very informal poll and yet getting very much the same results. So I think it's fair to say we see something going on here that's not the usual pattern.
Okay. Second thing I wanted to bring up was on the Hillary contest you had this past week, which I participated in, and obviously I didn't win.
Yes.
But what were the three words that were the chosen words to describe
they
Hillary?
Were the three P's, weren't they?
There was the three P's. Yeah, it was – I don't have the list in front of me. do you remember what they were, Nick? No, we don't remember.
Kathy, what were yours again?
Oh, gee, I don't remember. I don't know. I think it was deceitful dishonest, pathetic, that kind of thing.
Well, listen, Kathy, I've been calling people on the list, and I haven't gotten to everyone on the list, so I haven't gotten to you, obviously. If you'll stay on the line and give Nick your email address and or your mailing address, I'd like to make sure you get at least a coupon to Cafe Positano. And if you'll give us your email address, I'll send you our latest intel brief.
Oh, very good. And can I just bring up one more quick thing?
Sure.
I know you were speaking to a lady from True Life Choice
yesterday.
A few days ago, and I was listening to that. My question is, how late in the pregnancy are these abortion clinics allowed to perform the abortion? How far along can the female be?
I believe she said two trimesters.
Three trimesters?
No, excuse me, two. Two, because she and I, you know, I'm now I'll have to defer to them. I don't know exactly what the law is in the state of Florida. I thought it was one trimester, but I believe that some of these abortion clinics can perform abortions as late as two trimesters.
Right, because when you were saying that she saw some females walk in, obviously several months pregnant, obviously
yeah.
pregnant.
Yes.
And they were probably at least in their second trimester, because I'm a nurse.
Correct.
And I kind of can know
yes.
that. But
yeah. She said,
I think it's truly pathetic if that's the case.
It absolutely is. We definitely need to do something about that. Now, the Planned Parenthood clinics can't perform abortions past one trimester, and there's some legal dispute right now going on as to what one trimester means, but it's somewhere within that 3-month range. But evidently, in the state of Florida, you can get an abortion up to two trimesters, and
that's very pathetic.
It is,
very
you know. But I appreciate that. But yeah, Vicky Botsford, and by the way, they may be needing your help if the good news comes through that they are anticipating, they're going to need people like you.
Very good.
So, well, listen, Kathy, thank you very much for your questions. They're excellent questions, and thanks for being out there listening to the show.
Thank you, and I will call you again.
That's great, because we're thinking about doing that again.
We're going to pick a different victim. Kathy,
I like to call and just talk about whatever current things you're talking about, so it doesn't have to be anything in particular.
Oh, no.
I just like to get the conversation going.
Thank you. We appreciate that. We appreciate that so much. And I promise you by Thursday, I'll get the list. I still have the list of the words, and I'll bring it in, and we'll refresh it Thursday. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Kathy. And don't forget to listen to the debate live tomorrow night right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And certainly we want all you folks to listen in, too. Something very interesting happened on the floor of the Senate today that I think we need to talk about here for a couple of minutes. And, of course, you're welcome to join us as well, like Kathy did at 407-774-8255. But our friend Senator Ron Johnson, who's been on the show a number of times, we're going to have to get him back, especially after this. And, by the way, you want to talk about specific proposals? He has been quietly coming out with some very good specific proposals. Kind of as he were running for president.
No, he has. I agree with you.
Which he is not. But he stood up on the floor of the Senate today and did something very extraordinary. Mike, please.
This is an amazing, and this is the type of thing that should have been going on for the last 4 or 5 weeks. He got up and he did an apology to the American people and to Israel for the nuclear war of 2030.
Mm.
And he was very graphic in his description. And, you know, he, as if it had happened, He was apologizing for all the policies that the Obama administration had put together that resulted in the deaths of hundreds of millions of people throughout the world, and particularly in America. And he was graphic, too. He said, you know, as the cities are sitting there burning and the rubble lies there, there's people hundreds of miles away that are heavily burned. You know, I mean, it was just like you were watching a movie of a nuclear war. Wow. And he was extremely graphic. And then he said, and for the few people left in Israel, I'm sorry. We should have known. We knew this would not work. But this was a, you know, this was a political thing. It was party over country. And, you know, when you really think about this, we are in dire trouble. And as Chris, we talked about it today, you see China now building, you know, another, they're taking another reef and building a military base, and Obama's going, you can't do that. You can't. They're saying, hey, get lost.
Russia's up in their game in Syria.
Right.
Making it clear that they are going to defend Bashar al-Assad and asking other countries to step up and do the same.
And North Korea today announced that they are going to restart all their nuclear fuel production. And
their weapons plants.
Their weapons plants for one primary purpose, to kill us.
To develop
and
more
nuclear
weapons.
And how any American can sit there when 80% of our public said, we do not want this deal. This is insane.
Yeah.
And you know what? I mean, to hear him do that, I mean, it sent chills through your spine. But, I mean, it also brought reality of what a nightmare we're going to face and what terror we're going to face in the next few years when they get that $150 billion. Dollars.
But it was also an excellent piece of political work, because what he did was he created an emotional argument using facts and logic. It can be done, and it should be done. Republicans shouldn't think that using emotional arguments is some sort of bad thing.
No, he painted a picture.
Exactly.
I love it.
Exactly. And he painted, and it wasn't a very pretty picture, and it's the picture that we're in the process of literally painting. All right, please don't go away. We'll be right back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show.
David Levitt here from Refresh Computers. We provide peace of mind about your network and critical data. Let Refresh Computers be your on-site IT services company. We're the experts, and we'll come to you. Call 407-478-8200 or refreshcomputers.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, Legal Immigrants for America would like to invite you, your family, and your friends to any of three exclusive engagements featuring Pastor Rafael Cruz, father of GOP presidential candidate Senator Ted Cruz. On Saturday, September 26th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, September 27th at 9:30 a.m., Pastor Cruz will be speaking on God and Countries at Aloma Church, located at 1815 State Road 436 in Winter Park. Both of these events are free, but you do need to pre-register. Then again on Sunday, September 27th, you can have lunch with Pastor Cruz at the Tuscaloosa Country Club. The cost is only $25 per person, and like the free events, you do need to pre-register. So don't be left out. Pre-register now by going to golifa.com, that's G-O-L-I-F-A.com, or at Eventbrite. This could be the opportunity of a lifetime to meet the father of a possible future president. So go to golifa.com today. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. This will be kind of a short segment, and then the Rays pregame show will be kicking off here in, at 6:30. So if you want to listen to the last half hour of the show, and boy, have we got some doozies of stories we'll be talking about, please go to am660theanswer.com. And you can listen to us there, of course, at any time. Or you can go to am660theanswer.com and download the free app for your smart device. Real quickly, don't forget, 2 weeks from yesterday, our spaghetti eating challenge at Cafe Positano. It's free to attend. All you have to pay for is whatever food you eat and whatever drinks you drink. And if you want to be in the spaghetti eating contest, you need to hurry on up and let us know about it. But we still have room for a couple, three more, especially we're looking for maybe another woman or two, but whoever. And the prize package is building. You'll get not only a $100 gift card to Cafe Positano, but now compliments of Refresh Computers and, of course, David Levitt here. You'll also receive receive a $200 gift card to Refresh Computers, which means you can really upgrade your system or replace your system because the prices are so good over there. And they got a lot of stuff in the store over there. And, of course, Refresh Computers is located on 434 between Ronald Reagan Boulevard and 1792. And he'll be there at the Spaghetti Eating Challenge.
So you'll be able my best to be there.
Dave, now maybe we'll put you in a meatball eating challenge.
It's on my calendar.
But, you know, Chris, what is great is the food is good. I mean, when the guy's eating the spaghetti, this isn't all pain. So if you think this is going to be tough eating the spaghetti, you know, it's going to be pretty delightful.
Indeed.
Until I drop the hot peppers into them.
But I can get a regular meal. I don't have
absolutely.
I don't want to enter the contest.
That's okay. We're going to have a lot of fun. We've got a jazz trumpeter who's going to be there. Grant Malloy's going to be there picking and grinning on his banjo. We're going to do our drawing for whichever member of the American Adversaries Army, and you still have time to join the Army to be in on the drawing for a ticket on our cruise. Somebody's going to go for free, but you got to be a member of the Army. To join, just go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com and go to the recruiting office, and it is self-explanatory there. And also, please plan on attending David's campaign kickoff fundraiser, which is going to be on Thursday, October the 22nd. So put it on your calendar, please, starting at 6 p.m. And there'll be dinner there, too. It's $25 a plate donation. But if you're hard up like me and you're just starving, you can come on by. They'll feed you anyway.
You can come on out. Isabel's cooking, and I promise the food's going to be great. She's making salmon
and beef.
And I told her, look, people will get a choice of salmon or beef. And she said, well, what if somebody wants salmon and beef? I don't know. I didn't put that choice out there.
She said, spaghetti.
I'm going to serve them salmon and beef if that's what they want. Maybe some people will want both. But
that's very inexpensive.
That's very
playing for $25.
It is.
Thursday night, the 22nd of October, at the Longwood Community Building, which is right there in downtown Longwood. And if you can make – well, actually, there'll be a place where you can sign petitions for David to be on the ballot. But you'll also be able to enter a drawing for an 80-inch smart HD TV. They're asking for donations of $100 for the drawing for the TV, not required. But please come on out to the fundraiser, and let's get David's campaign really kicked off into high gear, because he fits the profile of what the public seems to want right now.
He's the outsider, Chris.
Yeah, exactly.
But he's an outsider who's a working guy who's created a great business. You know, guy has a great personality, and a guy, as we both know, will be fighting for you and me. That's what I want. Yeah. I don't want the guy that we elect sitting down at Del Frisco's, and then we get nothing, and there goes my campaign money.
Right. We're wearing the $1,000 suits and the $200 shoes.
Yeah. Behind the bar. I don't know. That's
right,
great.
Right.
So. I've built several businesses from the ground up. You know, with nothing, you know, and they're very successful today. I employ around 50 employees in the area, and very, very proud about that. And again, you know, the whole business motto is, giving people what they need at the best possible price.
And why shouldn't we demand that out of our government?
Exactly. So we can take the same mindset, take it up to Tallahassee, and make a big difference.
Right. Like, for instance, folks, you wouldn't want to go into Refresh Computers and pay five times for the same piece of equipment, would you? But that's right. What we do in government.
We do.
Yeah, so it's ridiculous. Also, before we go off the airwaves, don't forget, tomorrow night, debate night, live national coverage starting at 5. It'll take you right up to midnight. Both debates will be covered and broadcast live right here on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I'll be here to put in some local flavor into it, but it will be national coverage, and please tune in tomorrow. Only on the Salem Media Group stations will you be able to hear the debates, as in both of them, in their entirety, live, real time. All right, we'll be right back with another half hour of the American Adversaries, and we're going to talk about the ick factor. All right, so stick around, folks, and we'll be right back with more. As I said, you can still give us a call, too, at 407-774-8255. And don't forget the spaghetti eating contest.
FM 101.
All right, we don't want that to happen. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, now coming to you solely on AM660TheAnswer.com. But we are still here. We are still alive. And you can be a part of the show by calling 407-774-8255. There was some decent market action today, but really everybody's kind of holding their breath, right, Mike?
Yeah, Chris, we're waiting for Thursday. And, I mean, the story gets old, and it's just sort of like the
Now, real quick, what's happening Thursday?
Yeah, Thursday, the Fed is going to have to not just think about what they're doing, make a decision.
Either raise rates
are going to go up. Rates are not going to go up, but now they're talking about a compromise. Usually you'll raise rates maybe a quarter point. Now they're talking that, well, maybe we'll do 0.15. What is that? But that's, you know, this sounds like the Obama government, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like, you know, and what happened today? The market was up 230. However, the Shanghai index, which sounds like just a couple of weeks ago,
Chinese
in the last 2 days, that's down 6%. And 6% is a big hit. You know, when you're in the marketplace, it was down 3.5 on Tuesday. But that's 2 days, right? You got whacked pretty good. Plus, since June, the Shanghai index is down 42%. You know, welcome to the market. But the sad thing for all those people is the government, by jumping in and out, like some months you can short stock, some months you can't. If you hold more than 10%, you can't sell stock. I mean, they don't really have true capitalist rules.
And I think, it was like they were making them up day by day.
That's exactly right. And I think that
that's
now
the worst thing
people,
you can do in a market.
Right.
Yeah.
Now these people in there realize, you know what? I don't have a free-flowing type situation where it's a fair game because they're changing the rules every day and I could really get smashed. So when you see this drop in the last 2 days, now you're down 42, I don't know.
Yeah, they're beginning to figure out you can go down by, if you go down by half, you got to double your money just to get back where you were.
And like we talked about, Chris, our concern is when you get your economy getting ripped up, what do you go to? You go to nationalism, right? You think China's working on their military? I mean, they got a, you know, what is it, 2 million man army? They got probably the most modern air force now, thanks to us.
Close to
you know, for stealing everything. They certainly are whacking us every way possible in the computer area. You know, this is a scary group of people, particularly if they get pushed and the government worries that they get unseated, because that is a problem. That market comes tumbling down. All those Chinese people who are living with Rolex watches and a nice big car, guess what? They're coming to take you away. That's part of the market. That's part of the game.
A lot of them, too.
Yeah. So it could get ugly.
Yeah. If I asked you, who do you think Wall Street favors if it were to be an election between Trump and Hillary Clinton, who would you think Wall Street would back?
Well, you gave me the answer. I would have probably, I'd have probably said the other. But it's Hillary, because Trump will go after, you know, the hedge fund taxation. And we talked about
the insider trading and all the other hanky panky that goes on. The politicians.
That's exactly right. And you know, the politician, the Pelosi. How do you think she made her money? Many of these people were doing insider trading,
which is right now legal for them.
That's so bad. It's just horrible, because you know what the real estate deals are, what the energy policy will be. How much money is going to go into the military? This is unbelievable, and all these people just get filthy rich. And then we just sit there, and then if you do something wrong, you go to jail.
That's the other problem with having the politicians in there, is they make the rules. So, then they know how to play the game. So.
Right. Well, see, they should be prevented from actively trading in the market. They should have to go through a blind trust or something like that.
Right.
Remember when Cheney, he put all
exactly
his holdings in a blind trust so that he can't control what's going on with his investments.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point being is that, being the vice president, he would have some great insider knowledge.
Let's say we're going to ban coal, right? If I knew you're banning coal, I'm shorting every coal stock there is.
You can make a fortune just in the pharmaceutical stocks.
And the pharmaceutical, you know what adventure's coming.
With the FDA,
drugs are turned down.
Right,
you
exactly.
know a big announcement's coming. You
whether
can make a fortune.
Whether you know it's approved or not, you know how to play the action.
Well, there's a problem with the blind trust, though.
I'll just say
they're not only blind to the politician, they're blind to us.
In other words, you can't know what's going on.
There. Yes, we don't know either.
Yeah.
So and that's a bit of an issue. We can't know, because if we knew, then he would know.
Right.
You know, but the thing is, that's the problem with those things.
You see, I think
I don't know what the remedy is, though.
Right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The thing, though, I think between Hillary and Trump, why Wall Street prefers Hillary over Trump is, like you said, that she won't change anything in there.
Right.
And she'll leave it the same because it's all this nice little sweet little game they got going on. And they fear he will come in there and mess things up.
And remember, Wall Street's giving her a lot of money. Are they giving Trump a lot of money?
Nope. He won't take it.
Right. You got it. He won't take it.
Yeah.
So if I were Wall Street, I would be scared if Trump gets in there because he could be putting you in the big house. I mean, there's a lot of these people. I can't believe the money that, in essence, they steal from their clients. And, you know, they're walking around after a year. I mean, when you wipe a Bernie Madoff.
Yeah,
I mean, that guy should never see the light of day.
I doubt that he will.
No, I don't think
he will.
But
he's the exception to the rule.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, when it comes to Ponzi schemes, they actually recovered a lot of the so-called lost billions of dollars. I think he was supposed to have lost $60 billion of people's investment. They actually recovered back about $30 billion.
Outstanding.
It's highly unusual because usually the Ponzi scheme isn't found out.
Yeah.
It collapses when all the money's gone.
Yep.
And for them to be able to actually find a good deal of it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, speaking of Wall Street, Bernie Sanders, of course, has this great big plan of his. Oh, real quickly, though, back to Trump and Wall Street. And once again, he would not want to be beholden to anybody, so they would know they would have no real leverage
on him,
which is why they give to both parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they give to both parties so they'll have bought both politicians, so to speak. This is a whole new game to them.
Yeah.
And if anything rattles people on Wall Street, it's uncertainty. And so,
and we were talking, Chris, about the hedge fund taxation. I think it's either 16% or 14%. You know, let's say you're in a top bracket, you might be 39, you know, but the hedge fund guys only pay like, if I made $3, $4, $5 million in it this year, I would pay 16 or 14, whatever the percentage return, that's what I'm paying.
Hmm.
And nothing like a nice break, but what I don't like about it, having been in the business, is these people really, all this is a game of greed, because what does a hedge fund guy do? He takes your capital and he bets on what? Extremely conservative investments? No, because if he doesn't make a lot of money, he doesn't get his 20%. So what he's really doing is he's advancing out there, taking high risk. And when he's right, he gets 20%, and he's a very happy guy. And he made it with all your money, all your hard work, and then he gets a bonus, and he only pays 16% tax on what he made. I don't like that deal at all.
Mm-hmm.
And but remember, Hillary's son-in-law is what?
A hedge fund manager.
And I'm sure that sinks deeper and deeper. And I would love to know about her foundations and everything. As we both talked about,
can you imagine,
before it's over,
the shady
this is
deals.
All going to go back to the foundations on these emails.
And can you ever really believe that a blind trust is really blind? It's not.
Now, can you imagine when you go out to dinner with the guy and you go like, could you tell me how I'm doing? Look, when he moves his eye right, that means buy this. If you order spaghetti, that means this happened.
Yep.
I'll have half a spaghetti.
Hey, there have been some pretty elaborate insider trader schemes.
Somebody always knows. They have to.
Yeah. When you're dealing with millions of dollars, I mean, the temptation can
greed is greed, and that's
sure
what
can.
Gets so many people in trouble.
Indeed it does. Now, then you might say, well, then there's Bernie Sanders. You know, he can come in. He'll straighten the ball out. Street Journal did a study on what his proposals would cost and what his tax proposals would actually bring into the government. Over 10 years, all of his giveaways would total $18 trillion. In addition to our regular, this was on top of our regular budget.
Oh, great.
Right? Now, $18 trillion in new spending over 10 years, so that's an average of $1.8 trillion per year, almost $2 trillion. Our budget right now is only about $3 trillion. So he's he's increasing the budget by 60%. And now he wants to increase taxes, too. You might say, he's going to raise taxes on the hedge funds and everybody else. His tax proposals will only bring in about $6.5 trillion. So there'll be another $12 trillion of debt on top of what we already have. And you add in the interest on all of that. It's just totally unworkable.
You know, and that's why I say, though, if he ever got to the real forefront where he debated a Trump or something, he would be slaughtered on the spot. I mean, they would mock him and laugh at him. And as, again, I think we all look at him as like just an anti-Hillary vote, that's all.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a joke. He's an absolute joke.
His support right now is pretty well confined to the Northeast. Mainly
pothead, socialist, communist.
For the early going, he's doing good in Iowa and New Hampshire, but if you look at polls in the rest of the country, he's not doing very well at all, like this Florida poll. He's behind Joe Biden. He's at 12%. Biden's at 21%. So, yeah, his appeal is very limited. But for right now, he's a great thorn in Hillary Clinton's side. Now, the Wall Street Journal also has reported that the Affordable Care Act is going to fall way short of the enrollment. And, of course,
which
the enrollment period starts here pretty soon.
Premiums are more. Enrollment starts around October 15th. I mean, that's when you get the bills. That's when I'm looking for every way out I can figure out. I mean, as I said, last year, mine went up 80%, you know, and that was with Humana. Now, Humana merged, I think it was either with Cigna or Aetna, I forget which one. Mm-hmm. So I'll be interested to see how much they raise it again this year. And but that's coming to everybody. And if I were a Democrat, hide behind your door because your neighbor's not going to be happy with you, boy, because this is real. When the people realize that, geez, now I'm paying another $5,000 a year, and that's the money I was going on vacation with, and who took it from me? It was the lying SOBs that were involved with the Democratic Party who knew that they were lying, but they did it to you. Have a nice day.
Yeah. Yeah, someone of the Republicans tomorrow night in the debate might want to look for an opportunity to bring this up.
Boy, I would.
Because, once again, there's a lot of us out here still smarting from that Affordable Care Act nonsense, and it's only going to get worse. And they need to point that out and then, of course, have some sort of a solution, or at least in Trump's case, at least project the image, the perception that he will be able to do something about it. And but it's sort of fallen off the radar a little bit, and of course Congress is not been able to do anything about it.
I think it'll come back though, Chris. I think you know they got so many.
The closer we get into
that's exactly right. It's coming.
Once
it
starts hurting,
they got to see the pain, and then they're going to be screaming and yelling.
And it's worse than the taxation. I mean, because you know the Supreme Court ruled it's a tax, so that's why they were allowed it. But it's worse than that, even. Yeah. I mean, because it's the government forcing you to buy something,
right?
You know, they
and then penalizing you if you don't.
And then penalizing you if you don't. That's force.
The penalty this year will jump to $695 or 2% of your income.
Yeah, so they let the pain kind of ease in there. You know, like it wasn't so bad last year.
Yeah.
It's a little bit worse this year.
Yeah.
You know, but starting next year,
and
watch
again,
out.
We all forget about deductibles too. So now they get the pain of the cash, and then when you get your big deductible, my deductible, I pay between I pay over $16,000 a year for four, and my deductible starts at $7,500.
I know.
Yeah.
Is that insane?
More and more doctors are frustrated that they are spending so much time filling out paperwork, in essence, and not treating patients, not doing what they were trained to do. So there's ample room there for improvement, shall we say. And certainly, as I said, if one of the Republicans were to bring that up tomorrow night and begin to make it an issue again, I think it could be a big issue next year because, like you said, the pain is coming.
I mean, I think there'll go another debate or two down before it comes out, but I believe it's coming, and it's going to come hard, and it's going to hurt
the headlines,
big time.
Yeah. The headlines will be there.
And so what's the answer then?
For
health care.
Well, I mean, everybody has an
opinion.
Free
market system.
I think free market, too. You just open up all the states. I could buy it up in Iowa, whatever.
And look at LASIK surgery. Look at, you know, I mean, the price of LASIK's gone down.
And I call it factory production. You know, in other words, look at Walmart. You know, they have their own people. They have a giant places where they all go. I think you could do it that way. And particularly for legal immigrants who don't have money, they could be helped. But we just waste so much massive money, and the problem is there was too much political money floating around that went into the pockets.
Oh, yeah, the insurance companies.
This was the biggest rip-off I think we ever had was Obamacare.
Yeah, that's right.
Before, it was It was the government meddling into the insurance business.
Right, exactly.
And that's what made it go so high for everybody. Instead of letting doctors compete against doctors.
And
I mean, come on, it's just a
very basic
concept.
And letting the insurance companies compete against insurance companies.
Right. You know, they get involved and the government dictated, like if you're a company and you're giving insurance to, if you have a group insurance plan and you're giving insurance to this group of employees, you have to treat these employees the same. And even though they cost you a lot more money, I mean, that was going on before Obamacare.
Right, right. Have you been getting your breast examinations regularly, by the way?
So,
you know, you're paying for them in your coverage, right?
Wait a second.
Mike, have you had your recent pap smear?
I thought you were referring to Caitlin. I'm going, what?
No.
Tell me, I didn't know this about David.
You know, like the last two or three times I saw Mike, every time he brings up Caitlin, he looks at me. It's like, come on.
What are you doing? Wait a second. There is something I don't know.
All right, look, speaking of Caitlin, the clock's at zero, as in he's eight. All right, so we'll take a break, come back with the last segment. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, I'm Christopher Hart. In the studio with me is David Levitt, who is running for the Florida House District 29. Please give him your support. You can go to dave4house.com. That's the number four, dave4house.com, and you can also enter the drawing to win an 80-inch HD TV. And its estimated retail value is over $3,000, $3,400 to be exact.
Mm-hmm. And come out to my campaign kickoff, October 22nd.
Right. October 22nd, the Longwood Community Building in downtown Longwood. It starts at 6 p.m. The doors will open at 6 p.m. You can come in pretty much at any time, up until 9 o'clock. And there will be a $25 dinner plate donation. You'll get, what is it again, salmon or beef? Yeah, or both.
Or both, according to my wife, Isabel, who is cooking, by the way.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
Where you might have bear from. So, David, you went hunting today?
I did have to ask, hey, so you mean you're going to get like half portions, right, of salmon and beef? She said, yeah, of course. So, but you can at least have both.
Okay, that's a great cook. Dave Forehouse. They would like you to pre-register if you can. That's DaveForehouse.com. All right, let's go to Diane, who is on the line. Diane, God bless you. Appreciate you being out there.
Hey, you guys, you rock.
Thanks.
Scott Walker came out with a health care plan that he, if he gets a chance, he's going to propose it tomorrow.
Yeah. I understand that he did. I don't know any of the details of it. It'd be interesting to see what he has to offer. You know, the Republicans have had plenty of time to work this out in terms of figuring out what
is inexcusable. They haven't come up with a plan.
I'm telling you. And why Congress isn't out there every day pushing, you know, the free market solutions that we talk about here on the show so often.
Well, Boehner and McConnell, give me a break.
Yeah.
I went to the 9/12 summit this weekend, and every time somebody said they were going to get rid of Boehner and McConnell, it was the place erupted in applause.
Yeah, and I believe that when Trump mentioned him last night, they got booed.
Oh yeah, everybody laughs.
He's a joke.
Laughs,
yeah,
loser.
You want to talk about
him out of here.
Bringing in the clowns?
Yeah,
they are definitely clowns. Well, I'll be interested to see what Scott Walker. He should have done it sooner. Scott Walker is just fading fast in the polls, and evidently the donors are beginning to pull away from him the way they pulled away from Rick Perry. He had so much promise. You know, I got to admit, I was never really a big fan of his, not because of what he has done in Wisconsin or any of his proposals. For the most part, they've been pretty good. But be honest with you, he just doesn't have the electricity or the charisma.
But he has done a good job getting rid of the unions.
He has. He definitely has. But, you know, it's a whole different level of play when you go from governors to president.
Absolutely. And but if he can bring it up, it'll start the conversation again.
He better start tomorrow night.
That's what he said he's going to.
Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll definitely see. Hey,
and
thanks.
Cruz won this draw poll here.
He did at the 9/12. He did. I'm not surprised. And I think, once again, I think Cruz is smart. I think he's running a smart campaign. And
he's riding the wave.
He is, and he's still pulling in the big donor money.
Yeah, he is. grassroots?
So he can, when I say big donor money, I mean it is mostly grassroots. Some of it's donor money, but most of it's grassroots money. And so he's going to be around. And in this particular field, the longer you can stay in the game, the better your chances are going to be.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the trick, is who can stay in the game
the
longest.
I doubt that he's going to confront Trump tomorrow, right, Chris?
Oh, he's not going to.
I know. He's not going to do that. He's going to go the other way. He may defend him against somebody.
But when you look at his speech compared to Trump's on Wednesday when they were in Washington,
mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. No comparison.
Trump is the big generalities. Cruz is more the here's how we're going to do it.
Yep.
Type thing, and that's why I say I would be quite happy. I would be ecstatic with a Trump Cruz or a Trump Carson ticket, because I think that would be the best for America. A lot of people don't think Trump can do it, or they don't like him or whatever. That's what we need right now.
I don't trust him, Chris.
I understand. But do you trust the other politicians besides Ted Cruz? That's where I'm coming from here. You know, it's a roll of dice with any of them. And I'm willing to roll the dice with the outsider.
Plus, the other thing, he has no motive to deceive the public.
No.
You know,
and he has every motivation to actually want to be a great president, because he's going to want to be the greatest of them all.
Mm-hmm. Well, from your lips to God's ears.
Okay. Huge.
All right.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be huge.
It's going to be big. By the way, I found out this morning, I was telling the guys during the break, he oftentimes says, I'm a lot like Reagan. And in fact, I kind of think he is. And I've said this on the show before, that I thought that he had some pretty strong libertarian leanings. I'm talking about Trump.
Well, he has some.
Yeah, for a while, Reagan evidently, before he became a full-fledged Republican, described himself as a libertarian conservative, which is what I would describe Donald Trump as.
In a big way, yeah. I mean, there's some areas that I don't think he actually fits that bill, but for the most part, I mean, you know, a strong national defense, you know, I always keep harping about.
Yeah.
much
free market more solutions.
Especially today with the deal with Iran and all that. Yeah. I mean, you know, we need a strong defense.
Yeah.
What do we do?
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Thanks, Diane. God bless you. We'll see you soon. And thank you, folks, for listening. Don't forget, you can help Dave by going to Dave Forehouse. That's the number 4, DaveForehouse.com, and enter the drawing for that big screen TV. And tomorrow night, don't forget, debate night starts live at 5. The national coverage starts right here live at 5. I'll be on the show with Jim Turner starting at 4:30, so tune in. We'll see you tomorrow. Night, everybody.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.